I'm not drunk. I've had like 3 glasses of wine and 2 vodka tonics. I'm like, I'm in a pretty reasonable place.
Jesus.
Jeez.
Tell you, we're leaving this all on, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another exciting episode of the Deceptively Athletic Podcast. I am Tony Romanello, and with me, as always, is Mark Jakowski. Mark, where are you coming from today? Where are you recording this at today? I know you're on a business trip. Where are you located?
The great Midwest, Toledo, Ohio, a.k.a. Ooh. Lil Detroit.
Lil Detroit? Who calls it that? Reason. No one calls it that.
The people of Toledo refer to it as Lil Detroit.
No, I don't believe that for a second.
There's a street called Lil Detroit Street.
Nope.
Is that a good thing? Or
I mean, Detroit's kind of a utopia if you consider, like, poverty and crime and abandoned houses is a good thing.
It's opposite day.
Sure. If, other cities if you can name yourself after.
Look, if you don't want to have any supermarkets in your city limits, then Lil Detroit is a great name.
Oh, boy. All right, and also here is Marshall Hartman coming from Madison, Wisconsin, as always. Yeah. Marshall, how you doing today?
Mad Town. It's not Little Detroit, unfortunately.
No, they call it Mad Town. That's not any better than Little Detroit.
Yeah.
Dude, that's right. Come on.
I'll take my chances in Little Detroit.
Yeah, dude. It's going. It's going. Hump day.
Coming to you live
on Wednesday night for a change.
Yeah. Yeah, well, people probably won't hear this until, like, Friday, but
well,
at best Thursday.
Even the fans waiting.
Yeah, you can edit it if you want to, Mark. It seems like you're slaving all day.
Yeah, well, you're sitting in the hot tub. Like, you got
yeah.
it.
You know, if I could edit in the hot tub, this would be done in a day.
And lastly, we got Greg Stefanik from Seattle, Washington. How's life over there on the West Coast, Greg?
Pretty good. Not too bad.
Yeah. We had technical difficulties, so you didn't get to hear Mark called Boss Man a Coastal Elite last time, so that got cut out. Sadly.
Yeah, Mike went on a nice rant.
The hidden podcast, man. That was an amazing take.
Yeah. Oh, well, Mark left, so how are we having these issues now? That's great. On Skype.
Wait, he left?
Wait, yeah. No way.
Did you kick him out, Tony?
I did not kick him out, I swear to God.
Oh, my God.
Not again, no.
Do you have to add him, or?
Look at him. Look at him with the camera on now. What is this dude doing? Mark, you had too many drinks today. Turn your camera off, you freaking clown.
I wish I knew how to turn my camera off.
Boss man.
I wanted to see it.
What is happening?
All right, I'm out.
Oh, nope, I'm still seeing your face, boss man. What are you doing?
How do I get back on the call? Oh, there we go.
You're on the call. You're just, oh my God. We just see your face.
Just like your eyes, basically.
No, he left. What is happening?
Oh, to be fair, I accidentally closed
the app. I feel like the podcast is not going to happen this week, Tony.
It's like
the gods don't want it. Yeah, the gods don't want it to happen.
Big podcast is after us.
What are you doing now, Greg?
God, what the hell is this?
Turn off the camera, you idiot.
How do I turn off the camera?
You hit the camera button.
There's no camera freaking button.
Dude, there has to be.
There's a video button.
You turned it off.
It's like a FaceTime thing, boss man.
Yeah, come on now. Look at you clowns. Trying to derail this.
Us.
I get trying. You guys are successfully derailing this. Just so you know, I'm leaving this whole entire part in.
I mean, to be fair, we're usually like very to the point and very clinical.
Oh my God.
Wait, how do you turn it off?
I know, it's freaking hard.
Why'd you have to turn it on, you idiot?
I found it.
Why'd you have to turn it on in the first place?
I was enjoying it on the fun, man.
Oh my God. You guys are the freaking worst.
Do you not miss us, Tony?
Wait, I need to get a beard. Apparently, we're drinking on this podcast.
Podcast sober.
Because they're all idiots.
This is why these things are like 2 hours.
Yeah, exactly. Cause you guys are morons.
It's just Mark and I drunken rambling about stuff.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's actually do what we want to talk about first here, which is Black Panther, because Greg finally saw it and Mark saw it again.
Oh, yeah.
So it's been out for like, 2 weeks now? We've all seen it at least once. I've seen it twice. Mark's seen it twice. Marshall and Greg's slacking. Only once a piece.
Oh, yeah. Only once. Yeah.
It's like, do you guys even like black people?
Wow.
Me and Tony are... I would have voted for Obama in a third term, people, but you guys, I'm not so sure.
Did you guys see the meme where it was like the dad from Get Out? He was like, you know, I saw Black Panther opening weekend.
Yeah.
I did see that.
Yeah.
That was so good.
All right. Well, we got all of our initial thoughts on the movie. So, Greg, give us, what did you think of the movie?
Yeah, I really liked it. I feel like my thoughts are probably pretty similar to what you guys said last week, but I guess we could talk about specifics now.
Yeah, we're going into spoilers. Put that out there. Spoiler warning.
Yeah,
now
skip ahead if you have.
We'll be pretty quick about this. So just fast forward like 45 minutes to an hour if you want the spoilers.
But come exactly. on, you should see Black Panther. You should have seen it by now. You've had plenty of time.
Yeah,
we're being very generous in giving you 2 weeks.
2 weeks, yeah. All right, we'll continue. Go ahead, Greg.
But yeah, I think one of the things I really liked, and I think you guys mentioned it last week too, was I really liked the villain, Killmonger. I think he was one of the most, like, he had a really good backstory, and I like how they showed the scenes in Oakland. I thought it was like a nice part of the movie, and that they kind of grounded it in something real, but it also, gave him a good backstory. And you really I was actually rooted for him for like toward the beginning of it when I wasn't really sure how he was going to go about it, but I thought like he was right. And one of the things that this movie did that most superhero movies don't do is that like the villain actually had like a pretty big impact on the result of the movie, and that T'Challa the king ended up like being split over what he wanted to do, whether he wanted to like open up to the world or not. And because of Killmonger and what he wanted to do, that kind of like made him realize that he was wrong and that he should open up at the beginning, which normally isn't what superhero movies are, because it's normally just like good against bad. So I thought that was really nice. It's kind of a interesting wrangle to the movie.
Yeah, like you said, it's usually like a good guy versus bad guy. Good guy wins, and that's it. Like, there's nothing really, like, but this one kind of showed that, like, even the good guy's thought process was kind of maybe a little flawed, and like, it kind of made the fact that Killmonger was such a good character kind of made Black Panther even a better character, because it was like, he is this very, like, good guy, like, almost to a like stereotypical kind of point, to where he's like so good and like he's very noble and all that kind of stuff, and it like even made him be like, oh, maybe we should be looking at something maybe a different way. And I thought that was like a really good part of the movie, like you said, how they actually made the villain make sense. And he wasn't just evil for the sake of being evil because they needed a bad guy for the movie. They gave him like a really good point. And you can kind of like, he's almost like you said, he's kind of right to a certain extent. Obviously, kind of not in the ways he wanted to go about some things, but his general premise of what he was trying to do was kind of right.
I mean, T'Challa.
I'll
defer.
Well, I was going to say, like, one of the things that I wish they had done more is actually shown him more.
Yeah.
Because, like, he literally killed his girlfriend, like, in the middle of the movie. Like, and I just completely forgot about that by the end. Like, I was just thrown in there. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I mean. Like, you just completely forget about it because it's kind of like a throwaway scene where, like, because you kind of knew he was the bad guy that was going to be, like, the main character at the beginning. Yeah. And so they had this other, I forget who the white dude was.
Ulysses Claw, I think his name was, played by Andy Serkis.
Yeah, like he was in there, and you were kind of like just waiting for him to like get killed because you're like, all right, I know he's not like the main dude. And then like low key, Killmonger just like killed his girlfriend too, and just kind of random.
Yeah, yeah.
So which, like, I thought,
and it like didn't mean any like.
Yeah,
I did not like even react to it. Like I was like, oh, dang, okay. Like
yeah,
and that was it, and yeah. I was past it. It was kind of weird how little that actually meant to like anything. Like
yeah,
she so was.
I thought they, yeah, exactly. She was just. I feel like they like had more scenes with her in it, and then they realized like the movie was too long, and said like, let's just cut her out.
Yeah, apparently there's it's rumored that there's like a original cut of the movie that Ryan Coogler submitted to Marvel that's like four hours long.
Yeah.
Damn.
Wow.
But we'll probably never see that. But
when do we get the director's cut?
That would be, I don't know. Maybe,
seriously,
maybe.
Dude.
Marvel really doesn't do that kind of stuff, so I don't know if we'll. If we'll ever get to see that version of the movie. But yeah, apparently there was a rumored 4-hour version of the movie.
Well, I kind of get that though, because like, it's not like it's a one-off movie where you get like, it kind of plays into this bigger universe.
Yeah, exactly.
Like with one-off movies, you can really add like 15 minutes of extra content and not really have it matter to anything. But
yeah, when it's in this huge shared universe that has 17 other movies in it, it's like, you kind of have to fit it in a little more. So those extra scenes might actually have like, greater implications on stuff that they don't want to actually be a thing.
Yeah, I did like how they didn't have any like.
Yeah, there was almost no
characters show up.
Martin Freeman's character was kind of the only.
Yeah, I guess he was
character from. Ulysses Klaue, Andy Serkis's character, was in Age of Ultron for a little bit.
But at least no other like heroes.
Yeah, there was like no, and then besides the post-credit scene, the post-credit scene. With the Winter Soldier. Yeah, Bucky Barnes shows up. But yeah, other than that, there really wasn't much any other like Marvel tie-in at all. This was kind of really its own standalone movie, which was pretty cool.
Yeah.
But one thing I thought this movie did better than like pretty much every other Marvel movie was like all the supporting characters were really, really good. Like a lot of old other Marvel movies, I like kind of don't care about anybody but the actual like main character. At least on the good guys, like, you know what I mean? Like, but like, I thought his sister was like really good, Shuri.
Yeah, she was good.
And the head of the guard, what was her name? I know the actress's name is like Deny something. I can't remember her name. God dang. And then Lupita Nyong'o's character was really good too. Like, I just really enjoyed all the side characters in this, where I feel like I haven't really had that in other Marvel movies where I was just like, eh. You know, these side characters are there, but these ones I, like, really enjoyed as characters, and I was, like, actually, like, invested in them.
Yeah, also, something else I like is that Killmonger's father in Jobu, like, in the beginning, you just kind of assume he's a bad guy who really just sold out the country for basically a quick buck. But then, like, later on throughout the movie, you kind of find out that he was of, like, the Killmonger ilk, where, like, he really wanted to help the world, and this just wasn't about, like, selling out Wakanda to Klaue for, you know, like a bunch of vibranium and some cash, that he actually wanted to make a difference with things. Because in the beginning, you're just kind of like, oh, he's kind of a shithead. He just sold out his whole country for like, you know, whatever. But then later on in the movie, you kind of find out that that was also his ideology.
Yeah. Yeah. They had
that he also wanted to help people.
Yeah. He was like, because. He was one of their quote-unquote spies that goes out and observes the outside world, and like he was like, he saw that like, wow, people out here are getting like, you know, don't have it as good as we do, obviously. So he wanted to help them, and it was like, that's how Killmonger obviously probably adopted his ideologies from there. Yeah, it was kind of, and like I said, you like see the reasoning behind why they think the way they do, which it was like, my one. Thing I didn't really care for with it is all the fight scenes seem to be like super CGI heavy. Did anybody notice this? Like, that was like the one thing where I was watching it and I was like, I could go for a little. I'm usually not like a huge like CGI, like I don't like it kind of person, but like all of the fight scenes, like I know they have like, you know, super strength and like agility and all that stuff, but it seemed like every fight scene, especially like with Black Panther and Killmonger, especially at the end when they had their like suits on. It just seemed super heavily CGI'd to me, and I noticed it in this one more than I usually do. I feel like, I don't know.
Yeah, I didn't notice that, to be honest. I thought the fight scenes were handled pretty well. I like how they set up like the one-on-one duels or whatever. I thought those seemed really well.
Those ones, the ones on like the waterfall thing, were really cool. Like the ceremonial ones, I liked those ones.
Really good.
The ones where he was like actually like in. The Black Panther suit seemed like more heavily CGI'd than I usually notice. I don't know why. It might have just been something I only noticed for this one for some reason, but they seemed a little more to me. I don't know.
Yeah, it seemed like every Marvel movie to me, I guess.
Yeah,
I
don't I mean, it probably is, and I don't know. Yeah. It just, I don't know. It caught my eye on this one for some reason more than it usually does.
It might be because, like, this movie really doesn't feel like a Marvel movie in a certain sense. Like, I feel like that's a large reason why I really like it, is because I feel like Marvel movies, for the most part, are kind of, like, nonsensical. They kind of have, like, a humor running throughout the entire plot where characters are, like, cracking jokes all the time. And there were, like, some jokes in Black Panther, but I thought, like, it dealt with some, like, pretty serious real-world issues, and it kind of dealt with it with in a pretty serious way, which I thought was interesting. So I could maybe see, like, you were kind of caught up in that, and it was like, oh, yeah, it's a Marvel movie. I almost forgot about that, you know?
Yeah, that might have been... I guess that might have had something to do with it.
Winston Duke, the guy who plays M'Baku?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's really phenomenal with just, like, the brief moments of comedy, like... He's got, like, really 5 or 6 moments in there where I'm just like, damn.
Yeah, no, when he does the, towards the end when they're up, it's like, Nakia, Black Panther's mom, and, Martin Freeman's character are, like, going up to his thing to try and help, ask him for help, and he's like, Martin Freeman talks, and he's like, I will feed you to my children. He's like, I'm just kidding.
The vegetarians.
Yeah, that was hilarious. Because, like, Martin Freeman was like, oh, crap. Like, and then, yeah, that was good. The moments of, like, comedy in this one felt a little better placed, I guess.
God, except that horrible, what are those jokes?
Yeah, you talked about it. You mentioned that one last time when we
did gave I, our... Was that recorded on this podcast?
Yeah, you mentioned it.
You didn't say the actual joke.
Oh, yeah. God, that joke was so awful. God damn.
I knew exactly what you were talking about when that happened. Yeah. I was like, that's what they were talking about.
Yeah, it was like you said, it was about two or three years too late.
Yeah. Oh, God. Even then, it would have been like, wow, you guys really had to go for that one, didn't you?
Yeah. Yeah. That was a stretch.
No, yeah, that one wasn't great. And I also kind of found the mixtape joke kind of a little corny
that
was too.
Stupid, yeah. No, too long too.
I kind of think it's funny that the mixtape was coming from like one of the two white guys in the entire movie.
No, that did make it a little funnier. That did make it a little funnier. Yeah. But I was like, oh, we're gonna do a SoundCloud mixtape joke. Okay, I don't know, but Greg, I know you said on the Lost episode. That will not come up. That this is probably your favorite Marvel movie.
I'm gonna save that take for the Lost episode.
Our Patreon page.
Oh god.
Yeah, you have to donate $50 to listen to our hot takes in the podcast where everyone was dropping off every minute. Okay.
Yeah, that's like 15 minutes long and doesn't actually contain anything. But yeah,
hey, there were some good jokes there. Okay, come on.
Yeah, about Bossman being a coastal elite. That was about the funniest. But you don't stand by that take now, Greg? Is that what I'm hearing?
No, I still stand by it. I actually went and rewatched The Winter Soldier again because I hadn't seen that in a while, and that was kind of like, I feel like other people say that's probably the best.
That's probably one of my favorites.
That's my favorite. I've only seen it once though. Most of these I've only seen once. So
I've seen it a handful of times, and that one's still probably my favorite. I don't know. I kind of like went back and just like actually looked at a list of all of the Marvel movies and was kind of like trying to put together Black Panther probably falls top three still. Like that's probably where I'm going to put it. At worst, top five.
Yeah,
for me, that's. Like I said, I haven't watched some of them in a little bit, but like it definitely ranks pretty high up there. This is definitely one of the best ones they've made.
I think for me, this one might even be a better movie than Winter Soldier. I think what it was like I went into Winter Soldier with like pretty much no expectations because the first Captain America movie reviewed pretty poorly, so I didn't even see it. But then like the second one was getting like pretty good reviews, and I was like, okay, I'll go check it out. I haven't seen a Marvel movie in a while, so whatever. We'll see how it is. I remember it actually having like a pretty interesting plot and like some interesting twists that they had.
Yeah.
And that was another movie where it felt like they were dealing with like a real issue as far as like, you know, internet security or like your own privacy or whatnot.
See,
I mean, I just saw it like I just saw both of them last week, and I think the thing I liked about Black Panther better was, like, one, it just felt different. Like, it didn't feel, like, completely like a Marvel movie where I feel like Captain America, like, well, I mean, maybe this might just be, like, I've seen three Captain America movies before, so it kind of feels, like, the same. And also, like, you've seen other characters, like, half the characters in that movie are characters, like, I've seen before. Yeah. So it's not, like, as new as, like, Black Panther. So that might be why I didn't like it as much. But also, like, I think they did try to make it, like, very, like, intelligence, like, or, you know, like, we're going to be spying on people and all that
NSA.
Stuff.
Yeah, that kind of stuff.
But I feel like they went, like, a little too in on the, oh, and we're launching these, like, huge ships or whatever that could just kill kill anyone, like, the second
they step outside.
And
I
it's,
forgot
like,
about that part. I forgot they called the huge ships. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's
that
just
was
like,
really stupid.
Yeah, it's just, like, a tad bit of a stretch where I kind of, like, the Black Panther was more like, oh, it's kind of like these two people have different philosophies on how to, oh, not philosophies, but different ways to do this. And it, like, it almost felt, like, more relevant, like, I mean, even just like politically today, like whether you want to like open up to the world or like close yourself in, you know what I mean?
Where, yeah, definitely.
So I don't know, I just kind of like that better. So
yeah, but
they're both good though. So.
Oh yeah, but back to Winter Soldier too, Marshall. You said you didn't watch the first Captain America before you saw Winter Soldier, so that like
twist, I did not.
The twist that like the Winter Soldier was actually Bucky, like didn't even like hit you then, like.
Yeah, that wasn't that's true.
Because like the first one, like he's like Steve Rogers' like best friend in the first movie.
Yeah,
and like so, and then he dies. Like, he appears to have they're in the army together and like they grew up together and everything. So it was like and then he it looks like he dies at the end of toward like in the first Captain America movie, and then he ended up like getting also like found by the Hydra people and also frozen or something, and they gave him a metal arm, and then he ended up being the Winter Soldier. So, like, that twist wasn't even something that you were like, oh, snap, because, like, that was, like, a huge thing to me. Like, I was watching that movie, and I was like, oh, it's Bucky, holy crap. Like, that was, like, the one of the biggest twists of the movie, and you didn't even, like, actually get that part. And, but with these recent Marvel movies, though, like, these last two, at least, I don't know, did any of you guys see Thor? Ragnarok, the last Thor movie?
Yeah.
I'm not.
It seems like they're kind of starting to take a little bit more, I wouldn't say risks, but like giving people a little bit more creative freedom who are making the movies. Because like Thor Ragnarok's not really like, it's like almost kind of like a comedy movie.
Yeah, it like, really is.
Like, so, I don't know, they're starting to do, over I guess, a little. Yeah, they're starting to do a little,
yeah,
like, I don't know, doing a little bit more different things. And I guess given the, you know, directors and whatnot, a little bit more creative freedom with the stuff. And
yeah,
I think also, that's why we're.
Yeah, sorry, go ahead.
No, I was kind of finished. I was just going to say, I guess they're giving them a little more freedom. But what were you going to say?
Yeah, well, I was going to say that too. Like, I feel like they might be trying to do like different types of movies. Is X-Men technically Marvel,
it's,
or is that
it's DC? It's they're Marvel characters, but Fox makes them.
Oh, okay. Because I was going to say there's that like that horror movie of like X-Men coming up, which is like really different. Yeah.
Yeah,
but I feel like
wait, what? That sounds awesome.
Yeah, it's called The New Mutants, and it's like supposed to be like a horror movie.
Yeah,
is it like the X Men are being hunted, or like they're doing the hunting?
I think they're like, I don't know. I haven't watched too many trailers involved with it or about it, but it seems like it's like about like mutants. They're like trapped in like this like insane asylum that they're trying to hold them in, kind of thing, where they're kind of like. You know, I mean, or not like insane asylum, but they're being like tested on and everything like that. And it's like, I don't know. It looks interesting. I'm definitely interested by it. But yeah, that's not a Marvel Studios
MCU.
That's not an MCU thing. Fox. Fox still has the rights, at least for now, until that deal goes through where Disney bought Fox. But
That's not official yet. I thought that went through.
I don't think it officially has happened yet. I could be wrong about that, but I don't know.
There's probably some like antitrust litigation and stuff.
Yeah, I think so.
It's a lot of property. It'll
probably end up going through.
Yeah, but I don't know. I'm excited for Infinity War though, going forward after Black Panther now. But I don't know. You guys aren't really into the Marvel stuff as much as I am, so
I might see.
I think it's pretty dope. I just have a hard time caring about all the superheroes.
Yeah, that's definitely a problem. I feel like they just got too many.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It looked like good.
Zank? Thank God the X-Men aren't in this universe.
Yeah, Mark is not an X-Men.
Dude, the X-Men are like 100 people at least, too. There's so many X-Men. Oh, my God.
And they fight like two bad guys. It's like 100 on two, and they still struggle. And they're led by like some dude in a wheelchair.
I mean, dude, the bad guys are the U.S. government, if we're being honest. They're like supervillains in the traditional takes.
Yeah, Mark
like, thank God Mark there's not 100 more superheroes I have to care about. Because, like,
I don't know.
Even like the Hulk and Thor were kind of like a bigger deal. Like the Thor movies are fine, but like
they're not. The first two
I don't like them at all.
Are not good. Not great. The new one's good. I like the new one a lot.
I've only seen the first two, but like I'm like, yeah, these are fine, but you're not gonna make me care about Thor. Like thank God there aren't three fucking Incredible Hulk movies. Because you cannot make me give a fuck about the Incredible Hulk.
Well, see, I think the only reason that didn't happen is I don't think Marvel actually has full rights to him or something like that. I think there's something with that.
Pretty recent, non-related Incredible Hulk movie, too?
The one in 2008 that came out that had Ed Norton in it is technically part of the MCU.
Oh, really?
Yes, technically.
Oh.
Huh. I thought it was like its own thing.
No, that is... technically part of the MCU's canon. There's at the moment right now there's 18 movies that count as MCU canon, with Iron Man being the first one.
Yeah, I feel like Hulk's really hard to do a movie like just Hulk.
Yeah, he's
like, you could do one character. After that it's like what else is the Hulk?
Yeah, he's kind of a hard character. I feel like.
So they just like throw him in with other movies now.
Yeah, I mean he was like he's in a lot of Thor Ragnarok. Spoiler alert, if you haven't seen it. He's in it a lot. But I feel like that's kind of a better role for a character like him, to just kind of pop up here and there and be like a side character. Because I feel like doing a solo movie of him's hard.
Yeah.
Also, can we talk about something?
Yeah, sure, go ahead.
Part of the reason I've kind of been out on superheroes is like, they defend like this one town. Like, Superman, Batman, like, The Flash. Like, all right, I know I'm going DC here, but like, their whole big thing is, like, we defend this one town, and we do a pretty shitty job at it. Like, like that's one of the reasons I'm not a superhero. I'm like, if you're the Flash, you can run around and pick these people up in, like, 8 seconds. Like, if you're Batman, you have the money. Like, we have private jails in the United States. Build a private jail, put all these people in, just make a shit ton of money off of it.
No, yeah, but see, but if you build a private jail, people would know he's Batman.
No, they wouldn't. They just assume he's some rich guy looking to make money off the jailing system in the United States.
No. They'd figure out he's Batman.
They would not.
So you're saying, why don't these superheroes just make money off of arresting people?
No, I'm saying as a super, if you're a motherfucking like Superman, you should have a slightly bigger responsibility than one city and like four bad guys.
Alright, dude. See, the issue I have there is, like, you said, like, four bad guys. But the thing is, for these cities, like, it's like, oh, there are, like, 100 different villains because we need to keep it fresh. So it's like, Spider-Man has, like, 50 different villains all in
Spider-Man has so many.
And then, Batman is the same thing. It's like, how many of these villains is Gotham gonna have? Like, Jesus Christ, come on.
Yeah, is Gotham really that great of a city? Like, they kind of make it out to be like a shit place.
Well, dude, why do people not leave? Well, I mean, every town in which that is in a superhero universe is the worst place to live.
Yeah, I'm just like in this theoretical world, how bad are these other cities that superheroes don't just magically fall out of space into, or like are born into? Like,
they don't
how
happen
bad
there.
Are all these other cities, and who are their superheroes?
Nothing bad happens there.
Yeah, like
bad things get the only Flash happen where there's superheroes.
Because like, oh, we have a nuclear reactor, and like all these people are affected by it. But I'm like, in Gotham, like Gotham's so fucked up, and the rest of the world just has no changes to it. Or like, is Superman like is the rest of the world just fine? And like, we just have this one city with a bunch of outlier problems.
Yes,
or they're just a superhero in every city, so they don't need them everywhere else.
No, but I kind of feel like we would touch on them at some point.
No,
like all of DC protects like 12 cities, okay? And I feel like if you have a whole canon of superheroes, you should protect a little more than 12 cities.
No, you just see what it is you just nobody actually cares about these other ones that are based in other fictional cities or real cities. Like, they just don't care about them.
If you don't have a strong emotional tie to the city, like you know, whatever.
But also, but what you're, dude, there's legitimately like a dozen superheroes based in New York in like Marvel, the Marvel universe.
That's fine because they're saving the whole fucking world right now.
Well, no, but I mean, like, dude, there's like the Marvel Netflix shows, dude. There's like, there's literally like a superhero per bureau, dude. Like,
it's dude, every superhero is New York too. It's like even with Superman and Batman, it's like, okay, Gotham is clearly New York City, and that's like, oh, Superman is what, like Metropolis or whatever. Like, that's like clearly New York City too. Like, everyone's based in New York City when you actually think about it. I guess because New York City is like the most like generic big city possible.
Yeah. Who's the little Detroit superhero?
I think it's Ant-Man. I think it's Ant-Man.
Little Detroit. I don't even know where Ant-Man's located, actually. Dude, probably New York.
We're getting too deep into this Marvel take right now.
Yeah, we are. We're getting way down the rabbit hole in superhero movies right now.
You're welcome.
But overall, we all give a thumbs up to Black Panther, right?
Yeah, we all liked it.
Very good movie. One of our favorite Marvel movies, if not our favorite.
Wait, can I toss out one more take about...
Oh, Christ. Go ahead.
Oh, it's just about the fact that Wakanda is very clearly a communist state. Oh, and it's also the best state. I mean...
okay, I'm kicking you out of here. All right. But, all right. Do we want to move on then? We good on Black Panther and any other Marvel takes or superhero takes we want to throw out there?
I'm good.
I mean, I have a really hot take, but I'm not going to give it here because
go ahead. Oh no, Marshall.
Go ahead,
Marshall. Dude. This is what we do. We spend 35 minutes a segment.
Oh my gosh. Yes, Marshall. Go ahead. Throw out the hot take. I want to hear it now.
You have Marshall, we go. Don't go down like three stupid rabbit holes. Do we even have a segment? We've only gone down two.
All right. It's coming in super hot, and this might be my own bias, but I think Batman Begins is better than The Dark Knight.
Oh, molten takes.
Yeah. I know.
All right, kick him off.
Garbage. Honestly, I deserve it. Just kick me off after that.
Tired of this. All right, garbage.
Here's what Batman Begins is definitely an underrated movie. I will give you that.
It sets up the backstory of Batman as like a hero in like the most interesting way possible. I've never seen like. It's, if you think about it, it's almost the entire movie is dealt with like establishing Batman and establishing his motives or whatever. And I think they just do such a good job of that. And I feel like Ra's al Ghul is like a pretty interesting villain, in the sense of he has like motives behind his actions. He's like very cold and calculated though, which is kind of how I view Killmonger in the same way, where like he has like in his mind like what he's planning on doing will benefit like people the most. He just like doesn't care how many people were here to get in the way. I mean, I feel like that's the classic villain view, is like there's justifications in my own actions in my mind, and I don't really care if you want to argue it differently, you know.
No, yeah,
but I mean, I will give the Joker like yeah, Heath, I mean, Ledger, that... like that is so many good parts in The Dark Knight. I just think Batman Begins is just as good, and I feel like it's often like not praised in the same way.
I think if you look at it as the story of Bruce Wayne as an individual character, his development and his arc in Batman Begins may be a little bit better than what it is in The Dark Knight, but Dark Knight's a better movie.
Heath Ledger is just incredible. That's what makes it so much better. Like,
exactly.
If you take out the Joker,
he's the best
then,
villain I've all right, ever
fine,
seen.
But...
I know. He's still the only actor from a superhero movie that got nominated for an Oscar, I'm pretty sure.
Did he win it or no? I thought he won it, but I honestly can't
remember.
I thought he won Best Supporting Actor, but I could be wrong.
Yeah.
That's what I thought. It was supporting. Yep. I feel like if he didn't win, that's a crime, because that was incredible.
Yeah. No, that was... that. But The Dark Knight is a superior movie, strictly based off of Heath Ledger as the Joker.
Yeah, he won. He won Best Supporting Actor.
Yeah, I thought...
Yep.
Good.
Yeah. I still think he's the only actor to be nominated and win.
So. I mean, he deserves it. I mean, to be honest, like, I don't know.
Yeah, probably.
Even with Black Panther, it's like, all right, Michael B. Jordan, like, did a good job. I don't think it was Oscar-worthy, though, compared to some of the other movies I've seen. Like, Heath Ledger, like, I'm not going to say he single-handedly carried that movie because, like, everyone else, like, gave fantastic performances as well, but, like, yeah, like you said, the way he sold the Joker was like almost it felt so real. I think mm-hmm. I think the reason that I will probably give you The Dark Knight, I feel like Batman Begins still feels kind of like a superhero movie or whatever. The Dark Knight, even though it has like the Joker, it feels so like grounded in reality in a certain way that's kind of dark and eerie.
Yeah, well, I think that's why the Joker works so well, because it's like, I mean, in the Dark Knight, there's no like superpowers or anything. Like everything's like a real world situation.
It's like guns, rocket launchers, and like bombs and shit. That's all it is.
Yeah, and there's not like a ton of just fighting like there is in most superhero movies.
Yeah, exactly. And it's
yeah,
I don't know. It's the Joker is just such an interesting character, though. Like, just because nobody knows why he is the way, like, he just
yeah. And there's the entire like Harvey Dent situation too. Yeah, I mean, you guys are definitely selling me on it. That take was too hot for my own.
Yeah, Marshall's walking it back now.
I'm just like, real quick. I'm thinking through The Dark Knight. I'm like, oh god, yeah, I love that part. Oh my god, I love that part. Like.
There is one scene in The Dark Knight that's absolutely ridiculous, though, and it's when Harvey Dent's in the hospital and the Joker walks in and he doesn't realize it's him until he takes off.
Oh, yeah.
That is absolutely absurd. Like, it's so obviously him the whole time, and he doesn't notice until he takes off that, like, little...
Dude,
like,
he just had half his face burned.
Oh, right? Yeah, dude.
Credit. Like, give him some credit. He's only like got one eye to look at.
Absolutely. I don't care. It just... I crack up every time, because he's just in the room for, like, a couple minutes, and then he takes the thing off, and he just freaks out, and I crack up every time. Like, it's so ridiculous. All right, well, we want to move on to talk about, you know, the big NCAA basketball scandal, because, you know, surprise to everybody, college basketball is wildly corrupt.
What? No way. I don't believe you, Tony.
So
no.
my main question is anybody in any way at all surprised?
I'm shocked that when you don't pay people in a multi-billion dollar industry that there will be ways around it to make money. Also, something else that kind of surprised me, outside of like the DeAndre Ayton thing, like a lot of these guys are getting money from an agent up front to hope that like they sign with the agency, and then like none of them did.
Which exactly. Is hilarious. Dude, that's it's super funny. Thing.
I get like he negotiates one contract for one player and like all these amounts of money, because most of them are like 10K, 50K, like all that's paid for if you sign like someone to an 8-figure contract. So it's really not that. It's not even that much money. Like,
yeah,
people need to calm down.
But, yeah. Also, I noticed in the one, I think in the Yahoo report that I was reading, like a lot of times it was worded as it was listed as a loan that they would give players, which I thought was really weird. And it's like, I don't know. I don't know if that like actually meant anything, or is that just the way they worded it? But I feel like it was like a specific wording there. Like they gave these players like loans. And then whenever they become like, you know, whenever they get to the NBA and get $1 million contracts, they pay it back to them. But I don't know.
That's really interesting. I didn't read that.
Yeah, yeah, like, see, like, here's one, like, Eric Davis from Texas. I'm reading a Yahoo one. Davis allegedly received a $1,500 loan or payment. It says loan or payment. Like, it's for Benny Boatwright from USC, too. Like, it's weird. I don't know. But
with that dollar amount and the way you said loan, it almost feels like they probably have like a separate deal with a different agent, and this was like this agent trying to get in good with them. So I was like, "Hey, I'll give you some money." You know,
yeah.
Like, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if that was the situation.
Yeah.
Honestly.
The crazy thing is to me is that there was like what 20 some players named in this from like 20 different schools, and like this was a wiretap of one agent, like one.
Yeah.
So like. Imagine like what's going to come up when if they start getting a bunch of other agents like investigating, like it's going to be crazy. But like I don't know, like I said, I feel like there's no reason for anybody to be surprised that this is happening. Like,
All right. Well, can I point something out real quick?
Yeah.
So with the loans thing, first of all,
the agents are doing something illegal because they have a conflict of interest. So, like, even if it is a loan and the players don't pay it back, it's not like anyone's going to come knocking for them, like, you owe us 10 grand because we illegally hooked you up with money. Yeah. Now you're going to feel no repercussions from it.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. We'll tell on you. It's like, you'll get in trouble as the agent. Yeah. Not the NBA player. Like, who cares?
And secondly, if like, you're doing this and they are payments, like, you're not going to, like, have an Excel file, like, titled, like, illegal shit I do and have it, like, illegal. You're going to have some type of deniability, even in your private files, that this isn't what it is.
Yeah.
Your own personal bank.
Like, yeah. Out loans. Yeah. Like, you put the memo, like, only illegal
very
payment.
Poor. Yeah.
Like, do we really think, like, they're going to come out and, like, be, like, have, like, arrows on their computer, like, or, like, click on this folder to see all the illegal shit
they got,
I did.
Yeah, they got a shortcut with college basketball players I gave money to.
Yeah. Like, even your private files, you're not going to put that unless you're really fucking dumb.
Yeah. But I also like how, like, Arizona was, like, the school is, like, absolutely, like, complicit in this, too, because of the how Sean Miller has that clause in his contract if they fire him with cause, he gets like $5 million more, and if they fired him without, so it's like
bizarre. That makes like, zero sense.
Like, Mark, you pointed that out. You actually said that it's like this obviously meant like they were like do whatever you can to make us good, and if you get caught in a scandal, you'll get $5 million extra because we have to let you get out.
The university said we'd rather fire you for getting caught up in a scandal of paying players than fire you because like.
You don't have a good team. Yeah.
Yeah, because you're like underperforming. Like it's pretty clear.
Yeah. So
I just kinda like the license it gives him though, because like it's fired with reason. Like he could go out and like he could shoot somebody. Maybe like we fire you because you shot a guy and be like, good, pay up. Like pay up. Like obviously it's very clearly written in there. It's very clearly written in there.
I'm sure there's some very like specific language in inside the contract that
there really can't be though, because like we'll give you an extra $5 million if you're fired for the reason of paying players. Well, like that's gonna raise some eyebrows.
Yeah,
it kind of has to be vague because like you're inviting him to do something illegal. So like if he wanted out, like you know he's could have gone on rants for like he talks shit on like universally beloved people and was like, you know, I really don't know about this MLK guy or like you know Nelson Jesus. No, I'm just saying, if Sean Miller, there's a lot of ways Sean Miller really can get fired with cause. Yeah,
exactly.
Like, it really gives Sean Miller license to be, like, a giant shithead.
No, yeah, definitely.
He's like, you know, that George Washington guy, sure left us with England. We are in better hands. Like, he can really go around doing whatever he wants.
Yeah, pretty much. But, so I have a question. If this does, you know, end up just continually blowing up and getting bigger, because you know there was obviously that the whole Louisville scandal earlier in the year, in 2017, and so now there's this. So I have to assume this is just going to continue to kind of, you know, more stuff's going to come out and it's just going to keep building up. Like, what do you like? Would any of you be very upset if like college basketball just kind of got completely like destroyed? Like,
nope.
Because I really wouldn't be that upset if the NCAA just got, like, completely wrecked. Like, I really wouldn't.
I don't know. I grew up loving college basketball, and I don't know. I would be upset because especially the tournament. I think the tournament's, like, such a fun sporting event. But I think it's hard to feel – I mean, it's the same case with college football or even the NFL. It's hard to feel good watching a sport where, you know, like, these players are being essentially taken advantage of for their talent and not being paid adequately.
Yeah, that's kind of my whole thing on it. It's just like, I'm not going to like feel bad because like these players are obviously just like taken advantage of, and it's like the system's obviously like completely flawed for all this to have to happen. So it's like, I don't know. I really wouldn't mind if like something like it just kind of blew up and they had to completely reevaluate their whole entire, you know, process they got.
I'm fine with it if like, you know, the NBA starts stepping up and letting people go straight to college, or let people going straight to the NBA from high school, and then you know tries to develop some kind of D League, or you know improve the G League or something like that to make it better.
Yeah, I think that's what the NBA should be doing. I honestly I don't think they should be restricting people from coming, like having or making people go to college. Like, I think that's a stupid rule to begin with.
It's ridiculous.
I agree. Like,
they, makes sense.
I just feel like, you know, if you're good enough to play in the NBA at 18 years old, you should be allowed to play in the NBA at 18 years old. Like, an adult. You should be able to do whatever you want, like, for your job. Yeah, like,
because, like, it's just dumb because, like, when you think about it, like, if DeAndre Ayton were allowed to go straight to the NBA, what would he would have been drafted, like, probably, I don't know, top 10, 15 or whatever?
Oh, he probably would have been higher.
Top 3 pick.
Yeah, he would have been top 5 pick. Yeah, probably. I mean, I don't know, like, if you throw in, like, the other people with him, but whatever. Like, he would be a top 10 pick for sure. And he's, and contract you make on, like, a top 10 pick is, like, what, $3 million, $4 million, something like that? So, if he's getting paid $100,000 from Arizona, like, that's nothing compared to
Arizona got him on a sick deal, dude.
I know. That's I mean, obviously, they only get him for a year, but still, like, it's incredibly low. And so, like, in a way, because you have to go to the college first, like, that only increases these, like, payments to these kids who are clearly just going to go for 1 year and then leave.
Yeah.
You know, if you at least, like, allow people to go straight to the NBA, like, there'll still be kids that might go to college and, you know, people will still probably pay them. But it's going to be a lot harder to, like, change someone's mind about going to a different college based on money. They're literally turning down going to the NBA.
Yeah.
No, so that's like, thinking, like, I would get rid of a lot of it, just letting people go straight to the NBA in high school.
Yeah, I also think the NCAA would solve a ton of their problems with this if they just simply allowed players to be able to make money off their likeness.
Yeah.
And, like, just off themselves. Like, I feel like that would solve, like, all of their problems, almost. Like, if you're adamant you're not paying players, you can be able to make money. That's it. And then, like, I feel like this is the problem.
Dude, I fucked up thing too. Is like I already see like these college players in ads. Like when I went to the one football game, like they had the offensive lineman like in a commercial for like Grubhub or some shit. I was like, what the hell is going on?
Yeah, and you know, like, that kid's not getting any of the money.
Oh, of course not. Yeah, it's a crazy thing.
Whoa.
Yeah,
that's not legally.
Not legally, but I mean, it's probably, you know, but that's probably going to the school, and it's like, I mean. Like, that kid should be able to go do that and get paid for it. Like,
yeah, they want to like, use
They shouldn't have to do it in some super sketchy way. Like, you should be able to just receive payment for doing something. Like,
yeah, wait, 100%. Do you know if those kids get anything for doing that, Marshall? Like,
I really don't.
What would you get for that?
I would assume nothing. Maybe I would assume you're told. I would assume, like, the coach tells you to do it.
Yeah, it's like team policy or some bullshit.
Because if they would receive money for it, that would technically violate their amateurism, right?
Yeah.
Which is like, that's just the dumbest thing in the world to me. I don't know. Like,
it is. Because it's not like Harvard was like, oh, we get Facebook because like you invented it while we were in college here. Or like, what was it? UC Berkeley where Google was invented or Yahoo or whatever? Like, it's not like, oh, yeah, Yahoo's kind of ours because you use our service.
Oh, we own it now. Yeah.
Yeah. No, none of this is ever stand up in court and somehow like, I mean, we all know why this is allowed to stand up, but like, it's just ridiculous because like, you know, if you make money in college, everyone's like, oh, good for you. Like,
yeah. Like if someone was like a business student and they started their own business while they were still in school, like they would be like praised. But if like a basketball player uses his ability, Mark Cuban. Yes.
Yeah. Dropped out of school semester in to develop his tech company or.
I don't know. I honestly couldn't tell you what Mark Cuban does.
Yeah, everyone's like he's an entrepreneur, but then we're like, oh wait, we're gonna pay these people to be in an ad because thousands of people to show up to watch them play like every week or every couple of days, and they're like, no, let's get the torches and pitchforks. This is about amateurism. This is about spending 4 hours doing bullshit and only being allowed to practice for 2 hours a day because like it somehow makes your skills better than being in a professional program.
No, yeah, it's just, I don't know. I just, for one, don't understand why the NBA is worried about helping out the NCAA. That's the thing that's never made any sense to me. Like, I don't, like, the NBA shouldn't be worried about making the NCAA. Like, I just feel like the NBA should be like, we're going to take in these top prospects and put them in actual, like, systems and, like, coach them up. Like, I don't, it doesn't make sense to me that they're like, we want you to go to college. Like, why does the NBA care about college basketball?
Yeah, I think it's
Well, I think it's for, like, I guess the owners, one, want to have, like a year to, like, watch the players. Because, like, if you're, like, going to high schools to recruit, I feel like that's really tough. And you're giving, like, a ton of money to kids that are 18. So even just having 1 year, even though that's only, like, 40 games for a lot of these kids, that's, like, a lot more, like, you know, experience to look at as opposed to, like, not having that 1 year.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
then I think, like,
so. I get that.
Yeah.
So basically, yeah, the owners are afraid, like, it basically stems from the Kwame Brown pick because he wasn't, prep schools weren't what they are now in, like, the early 2000s. So you're usually watching these guys play at their local high school, not, like, a prep school against other top 50 teams in, like, the United States high school circuit. And AAU was as big as it was now, and there wasn't that much exposure, and there wasn't that much scouting, and it was just really hard, especially for guys who play competitive schools, like second-round picks you aren't going to get a look at or have readily available film. But, like, we have all that stuff now.
I was going
to
say, like,
if you're a top recruit, like, you're able to be seen, like, all your game footage is available online. Like, all your highlight packages are. Like, it's not like, and you're playing against top-tier quality, so, or top-tier competition, so it's not like we're going in blind with this. You have basically 80% of the information you have coming into the end. Like, Michael Porter's going to play 2 minutes this year, and if he gets drafted, I bet he still goes top six if he goes into the draft. Thon McCurr literally didn't play in college, went to the draft, he was a top 10 pick. Like, we have the information now to make these decisions.
Yeah, that's like, I was just going to, like, how many players have been, like, drafted very high in, like, recent years that, like, weren't top recruits, like, as a, like, you know, one and done guys that weren't, like, already looked at as, like, top recruits. Like, you know, like, there's not that many that, like,
Trae Young, maybe. I don't even know.
He was a four star,
right?
Yeah. It's like him, but I mean, like, look at last, like, Markelle Fultz was the number one overall recruit. Like, Lonzo Ball was a McDonald's All American. Jason Tatum was a McDonald's All American. Josh Jackson, McDonald's All American. Like, I don't know. It's not like we're finding, like, any of these random gems that, like, shoot up out of nowhere once they hit college. Like, it's here and there, obviously, but it's not like
Derek Williams, Michael Bennett, or Anthony Bennett, Trey Burke. These are the random gems that fly up, and guess what? They're usually not good.
Anthony Bennett was actually a decently high recruit, I'm pretty sure.
He was like a low four, high three.
I thought he was higher than that. I don't know. I don't think so.
Derek Williams was like a low four, high three.
Yeah. But, like, I don't know, usually the guys that you see that, like, weren't highly recruited that end up getting drafted high aren't, like, one-and-done guys anyway that probably would have went to college anyway, even if they, you know, they didn't have a chance. Like Buddy Hield, like, 2 years ago, like, got drafted sixth. He obviously wasn't going to get drafted sixth as a freshman, but, it, like, wasn't going to get drafted sixth until he was going to go to college anyway. So, like, that helped.
I just don't think there's any, like incentive for the owners to want to do that. Just, you might as, like, none of these 18-year-olds who are in college now aren't necessarily going to help your team win. I mean, they might help a little bit, but, like, you're not really going to get anyone that's, like, going to, like, make you a lot better when he's 18. So you might as well just wait till they're 19, because then you can, while, you know, it's probably not going to change much, you at least have an extra year just to, like, see. Because, you know, it can weed out guys who are, like, just break down or something in a year.
So, yeah, I guess. I mean, there are, like, there are the Cliff Alexanders of the world that were, like, top five recruits and then didn't even get picked.
We kind of saw with Cliff Alexander, though. He was a 6'8 power forward with no shooting range. His best case outcome was Kenneth Faried.
Yeah, right?
But he was a top three recruit because he averaged 30 and 20. But, like, no one was like, oh, this shit's going to translate to the NBA.
Nah, dude, if you look at, like, early, like, mock drafts from that season, like, before that season, like, he was like a lottery pick on, like, all, most of them. Like, that's a dude that probably would have gotten picked a lot higher and wouldn't have.
I think those guys are fairly good in looking what actually, like,
I mean, I don't have access to actual NBA scouts to go off those people say.
Bleacher Report mock drafts are top recruiting with slightly reordered.
Well,
they basically take 1 to 5 hit randomized order. And
you don't really look at Bleacher Report's ones, though. They're great, but...
Like, what I'm saying is, like, why would the owner want to have players on the right team? There's no reason.
Well, because if they do believe there's promise in them, their coaching staffs in the NBA are going to be able to develop that talent much better than college coaches are going to.
You basically get no guys. Yeah. Jimmy Butler was asked That's why fair. He got so good, and he was like, I went from spending 2.5 hours a day working on my game to 8 hours a day playing a game. Yeah. He was a four-year guy. He made a huge jump from being a stretch four at Marquette, who didn't really have like much equity as a wing that a lot of people thought, to like being this just stud on the wing who can do everything.
Yeah, one of the best players in the NBA.
If you got Jimmy Butler at 18, you telling me he's not decently better than he is now?
Yeah, I just think it's, you know, they get put in an actual system and they get to play basketball as a full-time job and get NBA coaching. Like, I just think having that, being able to start coaching somebody up with top-tier coaches and, like, weight programs and all that kind of stuff makes players a lot better than what they get to do in college.
Yeah, that's fair.
I think the NBA, what they need to do is they need to try and expand the G League and make it a legitimate option for players to go to out of high school. Yeah. If they absolutely need to see players for one more year, then like do something like that. Or even, I think it would actually be even a cool thing for them to try and even develop like a Euro soccer type of thing where they have like an academy, and if like each team, and they could be like, all right, we like this person, we're going to put him in our youth system and we'll work him out, and like, he'll play against other youth. Like, that would be cool, but I mean, that's probably still pretty far off from ever even being an option. But I just think the NBA needs to expand their like development kind of system and try and get these younger players in. And I just don't think they should be worrying about helping college basketball stay, you know, like as like an you know what I mean? Yeah, and as you know, they shouldn't be like, here, we're going to give you all of these top basketball prospects. Like, we're going to literally make them go play for you. Like, I don't know. I just don't.
Yeah.
I don't understand that whole point.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's about, I think if you're going to convince the owners to do that, it's about the money. And if you can convince them that, like,
we're going to make money off that.
Yeah. We're going to expand the G League so that it takes some of college basketball's, you know, revenue, then they would be in.
Yeah. And I mean, also, too, like, if G League games, like, are, like, legitimate, like, top prospect games, like, all the time, like, dude, people will watch it. Like,
oh, yeah.
Like, if Trae Young was in the G League, people would still watch him. I don't know. Like, I think that's still a way to, like, people, you would get viewers to that. Especially more than what the G League gets. I don't know. I think it's.
Yeah. If these guys were in the G League, I would, like, have never watched, like, the Bulls or the Suns this year. Like, I watched them because it's frustrating to watch college basketball. Like, I watched the Duke Virginia game on Monday. And, all right, God, close game, exciting finish, but just, like, drags for like the first 38 minutes of basketball.
Dude, Virginia is so hard to watch, and they're the best team in the country this year. It's like, oh, God.
Also, can I talk about something with Marvin Bagley real quick?
Yeah, sure, go ahead.
So he kind of had like a shitty game. Like, I'm not shitty, but he's okay. He's like 12-7, 5-9 shooting. And it kind of made me think about this thing where, all right, so Anthony Davis is an mostly unstoppable player. But he kind of, Anthony Davis does this thing where he eats against like below average centers, like where he's playing the center and not so much a power forward because he's always a mismatch there. But then like I watched Rudy Gobert and the Jazz kind of really limit Anthony Davis. I watched Joel Embiid really limit Anthony Davis. And I'm like, all right, so there are two guys in the league that can really limit Anthony Davis. And watching the Virginia game, I'm like, there are probably like 12 teams in the league who can really just limit Bagley, like,
yeah,
like if Virginia Tech can do it, like, and I mean, they're a great college defensive team, but if Virginia Tech can do it on this pretty offensively loaded Duke team, I'm like, there are probably a lot of NBA teams who have guys that can do this. Like, it kind of made me worried that he's basically Julius Randle without the passing,
dude. Totally, that's what I was talking about when we were talking about Bagley before. Like, I mean, you know, the kid's still very young, so I don't want to. You know, I don't want to say like he's doomed to fail in the NBA or whatever, but I honestly felt like maybe it was just time and place. But I remember watching Davis in college, and you could tell like on that Kentucky team, like he was a special player. You could tell even then, like this guy's gonna be really good. And I just don't see that with Bagley. I think he's a good player. Like he looks good in college right now, but I'm unsure about his success in the NBA. I would agree with you.
Yeah, he might do the Chris thing, where his numbers get really blown up against all the really bad teams. And then they're kind of like not as great against the good teams. Everyone's like, oh, he's still pretty good. Obviously not to the same extent as Chris Paul. Yeah. But like remember Chris Paul had like a 15-point, 15-assist, 5-steal game a couple years ago with no turnovers. And I was like, oh, and people say Chris Paul isn't like the best point guard in the NBA. And it was like against them, they won by like 30. I'm like, all right, like, calm down. Like, let's wait for Chris Paul to do this in like a non-exhibition game. And then like we can talk about that.
Yeah.
But Chris Paul's kind of done this thing where like his game doesn't elevate in the playoffs. It elevates against all these real shitty teams. Yeah. And I feel like Marvin Bagley might have some of that Chris Paul. And it's like that for some players, but obviously not all of them. Like, KD's going to eat regardless of who you put him against. Even like Russ, outside of the Warriors, Russ is really just like hit and miss with his good games. The defense, it almost matters less about the defense and like his state of mind and like where he's at.
Yeah.
And like, same with Steph Curry. Like, you can defend Steph Curry as well as you want, but if he wants to drop 30 points on that like night, you better hope he shoots 1 of 9 for 3 or he's dropping those 30 points.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, no, the unstoppability factor just isn't there with Bagley for me. And that's what you probably want to have a top five pick. That's what I see in Doncic, Ayton, and like Trae Young is like this factor where like I'm going to do whatever I want. And like the defense isn't going to stop me. Just basically if my shot's off, like.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I do kind of see what you're talking about with Bagley. I don't know. That has been like a criticism of him that I've like read as I've like followed along with some like draft people talking about him. Is they're like, he just kind of doesn't have that, like you said, that unstoppability. No matter who you put up against him, he's just gonna kill you no matter what.
But, yeah,
I don't know. We'll get into draft stuff later on.
I just want to say, personally, if Marvin Bagley is as good as Chris Paul. I think it's pretty good pick.
Yeah, I was
the Chris Paul factor. Obviously, know, Bagley has a fucking 9 assists. I hate you. All right, also, I was going hot take because I know we kind of started this on the NCAA corruption thing, but I don't think anything's gonna come of this.
Unless a lot more stuff adds some more rules. That's all that's gonna happen.
Unless a lot more stuff comes out, like, but if this report is just like a lone thing that the defense lawyers or whoever's on trial put out, like. I don't think anything more comes of this because, like, DeAndre Ayton played.
Like, no, yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, like,
Miles Bridges paid the NCAA or paid $40 and was able to play.
Yeah.
Did you see that? Like, you know, like, I don't know. He, like, I don't even remember what that, but he, like, paid $40 and he was allowed to play again. It's like, really? Like,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah, but the pretty much whole thing is, like, all right, so obviously they're not going to fuck with it this year because it would ruin the NCAA tournament.
Exactly. They're not touching it this year.
Yeah. But even honestly, next year.
All these players like, are going to be gone for next year. So what do you do?
Yeah.
Do you
it doesn't matter, yeah.
Do you put a slap on the wrist for being like, oh, you had someone come to your university that was paid by an agent that wants to sign them later? Like, are we really going to slap on the wrist? Also, like, it's 20 teams. Like, are we going to give 20 of the best 50 schools in the nation? Like, are we going to punish all of them?
Yeah, I tend to think that there's more coming down the, you know, coming down on this. Like, I think it's going to end up being a bigger thing. Because, like you said, this was a wiretap of one singular agent from one agency. And it's like,
yeah,
I think there's more to come. But they're also on trial right now.
Like,
yeah, that's true.
The only reason this leaked is because the defense lawyers pretty much, like, I think they wanted a distraction from the trial. Like, because the only people that have, like, the evidence is the FBI, the prosecution, the defense, and the judge. Like,
yeah,
they're really the only people. I think they leaked it to get bad press off whatever happened with them. Yeah. But like, where's information coming from? Other agencies just like, oh wait, here are our crimes too. Like,
yeah, I guess my thing is, I guess they'll try and start investigating them heavier. But not be like, well, we're not gonna do this anymore because you know the FBI is in.
A lot of people thought deleted last week.
Yeah, hey, it's never really deleted, Mark. That's all you
did. A lot of computers got thrown last week.
Yeah. As long as that space is not written over, you can still get it.
Also, if you have 30 teams that are banished from it, you have a separate tournament with just banned teams in it?
How everybody watches.
Exactly. The band tournament. That'd be sweet.
Exactly.
The Outlaws.
I'm in for two NCAA tournaments next year. That's what I'm hearing.
Yeah.
How wild would that be if the NCAA was actually like, we're going to like punish these 30 schools? And like, all right, well, like, advertisers can now pay players and they just like form their own separate league. We're like, all the top prospects because like they're just openly paying people because they're banned from NCAA. Like,
yeah.
That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, dude, I hope they ban all the that got fined and then we get like we get like a final of random obscure teams and
then versus Robert Morris. Let's go, baby.
If every school's banned this year,
no,
17 in the ACC, we're making it.
No, it basically comes down to my argument that the Celtics would be stupid to try not to give up Tatum and Brown, which is obviously a better return for the Spurs because they're just not going to pull another superstar out of thin air. Like, the Spurs mean nothing getting Gordon Hayward for Kawhi Leonard because there's zero things that Gordon Hayward does better than Kawhi Leonard.
What did you worry about Kawhi?
That's what I was going to try and talk about first, but like I said, once we decided we weren't going to talk about it, this one, I just didn't really look it up.
Because I think Grant, what I heard...
Let's hear it.
I've heard, and I have only read a little bit about this, but basically Pop came out and said he's probably not going to play for the rest of the year.
Yeah, I heard that part.
And then somehow it leaked that he's cleared to play, but he doesn't want to play because no one really knows why. And
didn't he like leave for like to go to like New York to get like a second opinion or something on it? Or something like random like that too.
Yeah, I think that might happen. Yeah, but it's basically just like weird. One, like, why would you leak that he's like cleared to play, which is like super weird, especially from the Spurs, notoriously known as like they don't say anything. And it really doesn't help them at all because now even if you wanted to trade him, like what Twain was saying, like why would you like that diminishes his trade value now because one, he's not going to play this year. Well, obviously you can't trade him this year, but like you don't know what that means for like. The future years, like this clearly like a bigger injury than they expected, although I guess we don't really even know like how big of an injury that is because it's like a really weird, I don't know, it wasn't like a Derrick Rose thing where like tore his ACL and he's going to be out the entire year. This was kind of just out of nowhere. He's been gone the entire year.
It's the craziest story of the NBA this year that like he's barely played.
Yeah, it almost reminds me of the Fultz story. Like, those are pretty similar. It's like, I think they're both cleared to play, but, like, they just don't want to play for some reason, and you wonder if it's, like, a mental thing. I don't know.
The thing with Kawhi that I've heard is, so Tony Parker basically had a worse version of this injury last season, and he was out for 6 months. So, like, it's kind of a nebulous injury in the fact that, like you said, it's not torn ACL. You're not very clear with what's wrong. So everyone's like, oh, Kawhi will be back in like 4 or 5 months. And then the 4 or 5 months came and it healed properly, but he wasn't like feeling right to play. So like he went and got a second opinion. He's like, are you guys sure that like I'm good to go? And they weren't. And it came back that like, he isn't technically like he doesn't have the injury anymore, but he doesn't feel like
he's good to go
physically right to play. Like he's still favoring like one side of his body and he's not like back in rhythm yet and he just doesn't like feel right. So I don't think like reading this made me think it's less of a him and the Spurs are at odds and like it's just kind of one of those weird injuries where like he doesn't feel right to play even though he's clear to play.
Okay, that makes sense.
Because I was like also kind of confused because when was he like originally supposed to come back?
We did come back for like 9 years.
He was. And it's like I don't know. Then he just kind of was like out again, and it was like, oh, okay. I don't know. It's like weird because I feel like it's not even that like talked about, which is like weird.
Part of it's Spurs and it's
but like you would think that like a dude who's like unanimously considered a top five player in the league and was like. And finished, what did he finish last year? Third in MVP voting? Has just, like, mysteriously missed an entire season. And, like, you'd think that would be, like, one of the most talked about things in the NBA. But it's because it's Kawhi Leonard and the Spurs. It's, like, not.
I think if the Spurs were bad, we'd be talking about it more.
Yeah, that's true. But because they're kind Greg of Popovich is factually a sorcerer, they're still good. it's just a weird situation. I don't really... I don't know. I guess strange. It must be a mental thing. I don't know. Yeah. Where he just, like Mark said, he doesn't really just, I guess, feel right.
Yeah.
So he doesn't want to play. But
yeah, I don't know if it's an injury that eventually goes away or not. So, I don't know. But it definitely, you'd think it would hurt his trade value because you don't really know what's going to happen. I mean, who knows?
Yeah, and it almost kind of seems like there's like a tension now between like Kawhi and the Spurs. Like, I don't know if there actually is, but like this whole like story kind of like...
Oh, that he was like distant or whatever.
Yeah, it made it seem like there's kind of maybe a little bit of a rift there or something because he's not like trusting them with telling them he's clear to play and everything. I don't know. It's odd. Especially because we all thought Kawhi Leonard was like some robot that just did whatever.
All right, so as much as I want the conspiracy theories to be true, because like, I mean, Kawhi Leonard, hashtag future Laker, mark it down. Look, LeBron's going to re-up for 1 year. Paul George is going to re-up for 1 year. And then a year, Kawhi Leonard, Paul George, LeBron James.
How do I hang up on him?
All right, so besides the fact that the Lakers are going to assemble a super team perfectly built to beat the Warriors, like, I don't know. I just kind of think, like...
Well, what about the Lonzo Ball, Ingram, Randall super team they got now?
We can keep Ball, Ingram, and Kuzma. Sign 3 max guys. We can get off that dang money.
Oh, man.
All right, so anyways, I just kind of think this is a whole lot of nothing. Like, I think there's no chance that Kawhi Leonard gets traded.
Oh, yeah, I don't think so either.
Oh, no.
And, like, I just kind of think he's back at it next year. The Spurs give him the Supermax. He clearly takes it. And they win 50 to 60 games for the next 6 seasons, despite the fact that they have a terrible roster and one superstar.
Yep.
And LaMarcus Aldridge is like 34 next year, and Pau Gasol is like 39.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, this is definitely overblown in terms of them trading him, because they can wait till, like, at least till, like, the beginning of the year next year and still offer him, like, more than anyone else. Right? So,
yeah.
They'll probably just resign, assuming over the summer, at least, that he gets a little bit better. So,
yeah. All right. Well, Mark, you said you had some thoughts on the Jimmy Butler injury, which he is out for what? It's going to be like 4 to 6 weeks or something, it is, with a meniscus injury in his right knee. Is that what it is?
Right.
I believe that's what it is. So what were your thoughts on this? You specifically asked to add this to the doc.
So I don't think the Jimmy Butler injury really hurts the Timberwolves, which is kind of a crazy take because, like, he's one of the 12 best players in the league. But my whole thing with Jimmy Butler is, like, one, he's kind of replaceable because Cat's down, like, 5 points a game from last year. And, like, he's shooting a bunch more threes. And, like, I mean, you can go to Cat in the post any night and it's easy money. Second of all, like, Andrew Wiggins last season was about 90% of the score that Jimmy Butler is. And I kind of think a lot of Wiggins' regression has to do with, like, him not getting consistent touches in ISO and, like, him not having the confidence to shoot now that he has a player next to him. Because I do think confidence is a thing. Like, Clay, Steph, and Draymond all took hits in their three-point percentage whenever KD joined the team. It's not because they're taking harder shots. They're taking easier shots. I think it's, like, it was kind of in their head for a while, like, oh, shit, I have Kevin Durant. Should I be looking to, like, pass to him? And it kind of fucked with their percentage. I think it's kind of like a mental block, and I think that's what Wiggins is going through now. But I think if he has consistent touches, obviously he's not the passer Jimmy Butler is, but I think he can do, like, a pretty good imitation of his scoring. And Jeff Teague is pretty clearly, like, he's not a great point guard, but he's a pretty good offensive point guard. And I think he's been performing well below his capabilities because Jimmy Butler just, like, will hijack the offense for, like, 4 minutes at a time in late in games. And, like, Jeff Teague's a fine spot-up shooter, but you're kind of losing a lot of what makes him, like, a good player if you take him off the ball. And I kind of think that their offense, it won't continue to be top three, but I still think they have a pretty, like, top seven offense because they're going to push the pace more. They're going to run more. Their late-game situations are going to be hijacked by Jimmy Butler ISOs, which I think has actually hurt them this year. And, I mean, Jimmy Butler's a great defender, but they're 27th in defense. Like, how much can losing him really hurt you at this point? You're not going to be worse than the Cavs or the Kings. So, like...
Yeah, no, I don't know. I just think if the West, that, like, mid part of the West is, like, still pretty up for grabs. Like, the Timberwolves kind of seem like they should be an absolute lock in for the playoffs, but they're only two in the ahead of the Nuggets, who are in ninth. I mean, they have five more wins, but,
that's
like...
That's crazy.
But, like, so it's, like, it's still pretty close. Like, I mean, if they drop, like, a couple games that they should have won, like, it's, like, not inconceivable that they end up, like, at least in the bottom half of the West when they could have had home court advantage. So, I mean, I don't think they're going to fall very far, but, I mean, they definitely could because of how close everything is out there. So, mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah. And even falling from, like, the...
Like, they're third like right now.
Seven. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's like a big drop. Yeah,
dude, that was like that Spurs team. How many years ago was that? Like, four years ago where they were, like, there was, like, one game separating the like, two seed. And yeah. Their last game. And
they had to play at the Clippers.
Yeah, and they had seven games.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like, I don't know, that's the only thing to worry about. From what I've heard, Jimmy Butler should be back. He should be back by before the end of the regular season. So, I mean, so he'll be back for the playoffs, but they just kind of, I guess, have to be a little bit worried about dropping a few games that they otherwise wouldn't. But yeah. On this, like, stretch, because I believe they have a decently hard schedule.
I think they have a decently hard, like, next 7-8 games, and the rest of it's, like, really easy.
Yeah, it's like they play the Jazz, Celtics, Warriors, Wizards, Spurs, Rockets, Clippers, Knicks, Six. Is like
yeah, but then check the ones after that. I think
yeah, dude, it's like it's Grizzlies, Hawks, Mavs, Jazz, Nuggets, Lakers, Grizzlies. So yeah, like next. I mean, but those ones will probably some of them will probably be tough. With Jimmy. But like this hard stretch here, where they're like the Blazers. No, they play like a stretch with the Blazers, the Celtics, the Warriors, the Wizards, Spurs. Like, those are all without Jimmy. So it's like a couple of those games with Jimmy, they probably take, but without him, they probably. I'm a little bit worried about them just falling down the West standings where they have home court advantage for a while and then they end up not having it. But I don't know. Do we put any of the blame on Tom Thibodeau for playing his starters like 50 minutes?
Always.
Yeah, absolutely. Always.
Like I just don't get it.
Like my whole thing is like, why run Jimmy Butler into the ground whenever like Teague, Wiggins, and Cat can like
all perfectly Cat, like capable.
Yeah, it's like all right. So the Sixers, their whole thing is like they pretty much like to keep two starters on the court at all times, and it really helps them like not rack up minutes. Like they keep everyone pretty consistently in the low 30s. Like high 20s, depending on who you are. And like, you have two starters on the court at all times. So it's not like, unless those two starters are like Jeff Teague and Taj Gibson. Like, and even then, I think you're pretty fine against second units with those two and three backups on the court. Like, and
I just think it's the late game stuff that kind of bothers me where it's like they're up like by a large margin and they're like still playing all their starters. Like, it's like, why are they in there? Like, why? It just doesn't make sense.
That kind of bothers me, but they're not high pressure minutes. So
yeah, that's true. Less. Yeah.
The late game shit that bothers me is that Jimmy Butler ices every fucking possession. It is so infuriating. It's like, dude, they'll switch. They'll get like, you'll get like a 5 on Jimmy Butler and a 2 on Cat. And he's like, no, let me jack up this contested 18 footer. Like, oh, it is so frustrating to me because he's such a great singular talent. Like, you could have no one on your team and Jimmy Butler. You'll still probably have, like, the 18th ranked offense just because, like, he's that good of a talent that he can drive an offense by himself. But, like, he really kills them late in games. Like, the reason they are not a better team is because Jimmy Butler has a singular stranglehold on the offense whenever they have a bunch of other... It would be fine if they had no other talented ball handlers. But
they really... They need to use Towns more late in games. They never use him at all. It's ridiculous.
There have been, like, 15 games this year. Taj Gibson has shot Carlton Towns.
Yeah,
it's absolutely ridiculous.
That's so stupid.
Yeah, it is.
That's a crazy sentence to say out loud. Like,
but I've watched.
Tim's our coach of the year.
Two of these games. I've watched two of these games. Like, they're pretty much any team that's willing to switch like a Jimmy Butler, Taj Gibson pick and roll where Cat is sitting in the corner, where he's a good shooter, yes, but like is basically just a waste. It's just like. So we have a guy who can post up, score on the turnaround, like who can attack a bigger. It's like great running shots, let alone like moves. And like we're just gonna sit him in the corner and have him do nothing. And like if Taj Gibson gets, they're going to post him up and he's going to shoot on Taj Gibson. And Taj Gibson's fine, yes, but he can't score over 2. It's like whenever the Cavs just straight up put
Mon Shumpert on Joakim Noah in the playoffs that one year. And the Bulls were like, oh, we're going to hijack our offense. Joakim Noah post touches. It's like, no. He still can't, like, you could put a, like, dummy there that, like, one of those stupid things from, like, martial arts, no arms, that, like, you can just kind of punch in the face and much. You put one there and Taj Gibson has a score. If anything, he's going to barrel into and get a charge. Like, he's so clumsy and he's so stupid. It's like, I get you have this mismatch, but it's not a mismatch that you want.
Says you.
Man.
No. says practical sense. You're yeah, like, we have a dude who can't post up, but we also have a guy who can't really guard the play. Like, it's so stupid. It's unbelievably stupid. And teams don't send help, so it makes them think it's like a good shot to take because you're like, oh, I'm isoing in the post. It's like, well, yeah, but you're also like a 38% shooter at the post.
Beast.
I don't do it.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's so stupid.
All right. Well, do we have anything else we want to talk about? Anything? No. We all good?
Yeah. Sounds like a no.
Yeah. All right. Well, this was the Deceptively Athletic podcast. Thanks for listening again. You can subscribe to us on iTunes. Give us some ratings. We have 6 ratings on there, guys.
Damn.
All 5 stars. We're killing it. 2 of them were me and Mark. That's the point. Yeah, so for Mark, Greg, I'm Tony Romanello.
Peace.
Peace.
Peace. Deuces.
Deuces. Why did you have to switch it up, Mark?
God damn it, yep. Mark.
We had a whole peace thing going. Yeah.
Hashtag deuces. Not a follower.
Jesus. Mark was way too drunk for this episode.